The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome to episode 27 of The Racing Pod on Off the Ball. John Duggan and Johnny Ward with you. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tip stories, and a bit of the crack as well, and interviews as well. And the first half of the pod each week is free to air. The second part is exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. We're recording on Thursday this week because we want to take in the Oaks and the Coronation Cup at Epsom. The previews of these races and any other races on Saturday will be in the member section. So subscribe now for the previews of those races. In the free to air section now, we're going to preview the Epsom Derby on Saturday at 4:30. Great race, 1780, the first race, 244 years of an Epsom Derby. And just as this is the race now for flat racing and for colts and for stallions and for all this thing, it's just such a rich history. Johnny, how are you getting on?
Very well, JD. Looking forward to the Derby.
Wolf Tone was a teenager when the first Derby was run.
Yeah, it's a race that, just as you say, there has so much history. And just even looking at Wikipedia today, 1825, Middleton wins the race, never raced before it or after it. And Amato in 1838, never raced before or after winning the Derby. And there's a portrait of Amato on Wikipedia here. And in 1913, which is more recent, as Britain prepares for war or not, the 6-4 favourite Craganore, owned by Charles B. Ismay, brother of J. Bruce Ismay of the Titanic, was controversially disqualified, and the race was awarded to the 100-1 outsider Aboyer. Suffragette Emily Davison was struck by King George V's horse, and she died 5 days later. So, a lot of history.
And an Irish connection with the fact that Aidan O'Brien has trained more winners of the race than any other trainer. 9 in total. Can you name them?
Can I name them? Wow. God, that's, if you asked Aidan O'Brien, he'd struggle with this. But Galileo, I'm going to have to look at this.
I'll just tell you, will I?
Galileo would probably have been, where was he in the pecking order?
He was the first one.
He was the first. Go on.
High Chaparral.
Camelot. Racing. Camelot won the, kind of technically won the three races that year because the Ledger winner was disqualified.
A ruler of the world.
Ruler of the world, who's now a sire, was... Who rode him that day? Was it?
I think it was Ryan Moore.
Ryan Moore, okay. I don't really remember that Derby that well.
Australia. Joseph O'Brien.
Again, McGinney's horse, who is now a sire and very, very, very good horse.
Wings of Eagles.
Wings of Eagles was a bit of a surprise, wasn't it?
As was Serpentine.
Serpentine, which then was ridden by McNamara?
I think it was Serpentine.
Yeah.
And Wings of Anthony Van Dyke is another one.
Anthony Van Dyke, yeah, another kind of slightly unmemorable winner of the Derby.
And then Auguste Rodin last year.
And Auguste Rodin, like City of Troy, bounced back from an abject run of the Guineas or not.
2001, Aidan O'Brien's first winner. And then Lester Pickett won the race 9 times as a jockey, 1954 on Never Say Die, and then Tinoso in 1983. Galileo has sired the winner 7 times since his victory in 2001. And obviously Vincent O'Brien was the person from Ireland, from Cork, and obviously training in Tipperary, who put the Irish on the map at the Epsom Derby with 6 winners, including the greats such as Nijinsky and the Minstrel and Golden Fleece, all these great horses and all the great jockeys that have come from this country and ridden the Derby winners, Pat Eddery, Johnny Mercia, Mick Cannan, so many of them.
Yeah, it's a class race. And the funny thing about it is, if you designed a race to be like the premier sports or the premier race, it would not be at Epsom. Like, you know, have you been?
No, I don't want to go. We'll go next year, Johnny.
Next year we go.
If we're all healthy and happy, we'll go next year.
Healthy and happy, and we'll do some sort of Hunter S. Thompson type reporting there, will we? Yeah. So our Derby experience will probably start like 2 weeks previously or something, where we'll
get a boat over.
We'll get a boat to England.
We'll try and hitchhike.
With Neil and I meets kind of Hunter S. Thompson,
yes.
With kind of a few... you wouldn't get football games this time of year. We'll have a bit of fun anyway. But
it's a really good idea.
Yeah,
because it's a strange course, because the thing with the Derby is it's 1 mile 4 furlongs at Epsom. You're going uphill for the first mile, effectively, and then you're hurtling down at a really fast pace around Tatnam Corner, and then there's a rise at the end. So you need a really balanced horse who can handle all the types of conditions and undulations.
And you need to stay as well.
Yes.
And, you know, Aidan O'Brien has run a lot of pacemakers in the race. I see Declan McDonagh has a ride in the race on... this year, and he's riding a Frankel horse, costs a lot of money, who might be there to make the pace, made the pace in his trial. But, you know, the draw is important, JD. Usually when you're drawing one, that's a good thing. It's not necessarily straightforward at Epsom, because you kind of, you career off to the right when you come out of the stalls, and it's going to be interesting to see what sort of paths Ryan Moore takes on City of Troy. I tried to get a an interview with Ryan on Wednesday in Tipperary, but he ran off smiling after a riding winner. said he was rushing for his plane, which I wasn't sure whether or not to believe, because his last ride had been scratched hours previously. So whatever plane he booked, he had like 2 hours extra at that time, I think, to make it, or at least an hour extra. But who am I to question the great man?
Best up some derbies. We got Churgar, the most notorious horse, I suppose, a 10-length winner. Walter Swinburne was 19. Front page and back page news, and very sadly kidnapped by the IRA and never seen again.
Do you know there was a winner? William McCreary had a winner at Navan a few weeks ago, and the Frenchman who owns him, whose name now escapes me at the moment, but his father looked after the Aga Khan's interests in Ireland, and he remembers he was in France as a child, and he remembers he was doing school, he was doing, I think, English lessons with his cousin or sister in France, and the news came through on the radio about Churgar, and he still remembers that, and he remembers the effect it had on his family. And he said the news travelled to France after a day or two, and once it got to France, it was massive news even in France.
Workforce has got the record time, but a lot of that is ground dependent. We've had great winners like See the Stars, Lamtara, Nijinsky, Galileo, Sindar, a few that come to mind for me.
Yeah, I remember, like, my first derby that I remember would have been probably Chris Kinn.
Yes, so I got into Kieran race. Fallon, great ride.
Yeah, and it was, again, probably not a star of a horse, really. No. North Light the following year for Kieran Fallon again. I do remember Motivator as being a very good winner, and he was ridden by Johnny Murta. And my earliest kind of really good memory of the race was New Approach, because Kevin Manning rode him for Jim Bulger in 2008, and I was working in Satanta at the time, but I don't know how the news came through. And even in those days, and this is only 2008, the internet wasn't as... Not everyone was on the internet, or it didn't feel like, you know, you didn't have a smartphone, and it didn't feel like when, you know, news was old within a minute. And when the news came through, I seem to recall it was like a Racing Post lead story, but it was like more to follow. And I was on the Racing Post website, and I went on to the betting exchanges, and I looked at his price, and I backed him. And because he had been ruled out of the race. Now, I didn't get a massive price, but I got a good price, and he pulled like an absolute cart for I'd say half a mile. And I don't know how he won, but he had the ability to win.
Yeah, it's in Darren 2000 was when I had just left college. I think it was the weekend after I left college, and I had a 10 each way at 7-1. Remember Walter Swinburne talking it up in the preview, the late Walter Swinburne, because it was the Aga Khan horse, and obviously he'd ridden Churgar and Charistani for the Aga Khan. Johnny Murta gave a great spin, beat Saki, who would end up winning the Ark, I think the following year or the year after. Mm. So yeah, we all have our memories of the Derby and great races that it is. So we're going to go through every horse in the Derby. That's what we're going to do now in this section. So half four, 1 mile, 4 furlongs, good to soft ground. Let's start with City of Troy then, Johnny, because drawn one, this horse, Aidan O'Brien called him the best two-year-old he has trained, won the Dewhurst at Newmarket impressively last year, then flopped in the Guineas on his first run of the season, also at Newmarket, inexplicably beaten 17 lengths. Aidan O'Brien suggested he got upset at the start. That led to expended energy earlier in the race. He's also got to prove now he stays a mile and four at Epsom. Auguste Rodin recovered from a Guineas flop last year to win the Derby. This colt will have to do the same. The whole issue of being in stall one, all the horses go right-handed out of the stalls. So once again, the worry is he going to expend too much energy? The positive for him, City of Troy, is that Ryan Moore keeps the faith and does not ride Los Angeles. He rides City of Troy.
That would have been one of my questions yesterday if I had the chance to talk to him, because the betting has kind of gone, they're pretty much joint favourites now, just looking at it here, with William Hiller still slightly ducking City of Troy, but he had a rating of 124, 125 after his 2-year-old campaign, and he actually ran, technically he ran at three different tracks. When he won his maiden, he looked very good. His run in the Superlative Stakes on the July course, I thought, was exceptional. He beat Hatem that day by 6.5 lengths doing handstands, and he kind of exhibited this way of racing that was like quite he looked like he was kind of only doing a sort of a half, three quarter speed even when asked, and when you eventually get him to go, he just like he has this relentless pace, and he showed that again then when he won at the normal Newmarket course in the Dewhurst, and again he was 8-15 that day. I'm not sure he was in love with the soft ground, but he was very impressive. And Aidan O'Brien is saying he was the best 2-year-old he's had. Like, that's actually pretty much backed up by the figures. And as I say, like Hatem, who he beat, ran very well in the Guineas and then ran an excellent race in the Irish Guineas last Saturday. So it looks exceptional form. But Hatem has improved. He's by Phoenix of Spain. He's quite a big horse. And the jury's out on the physicality and the physical acumen of City of Troy. But the jury's certainly out on the Newmarket run this year in the Guineas. And David Jennings did a piece with Aidan O'Brien in the Racing Post, which is worth reading if you want to make the case for backing him. Where he's and I was at the yard a couple of weeks ago. He's still really, really defending the horse, and he's like, there's one thing putting your neck on the line, JD, but like he has done it to an extent that it's very, very hard to see City of Troy bombing out in the race. I'm not sure he's going to win, but for me, I'd take the Aidan's view that the race was too bad to be true for whatever reason.
Los Angeles is at a Camelot, unbeaten in three runs on different types of ground. Won the Derby Trot at Leopardstown. Was visually impressive to me over the final furlong. 12 furlongs should suit him. He's an imposing type, a big specimen. I think he's got every chance, Los Angeles, I have to say.
Drawn four, yeah. He's kind of my selection in the race, JD, even though like I'm not going to get excited about the odds. The odds of William Hill, as I record this, are 7-2. I think he'll probably get a bit better than that. I was at the stable. I took a few selfies with him the other day, and he has a bit of a Mon Dieu in him. Like, he's a bit of a character. But the way he finished the race at Leopardstown was very, very taken. It's worth watching that back if you have access to it. He beat Euphoric, who reopposes, and Taraj. The problem I'd have with that form is, and he probably is my selection in the race. I find it a very, very difficult derby. The winning distances that day, I tipped Taraj, who was he was a decent winner on the all-weather. He's no star now, I would have thought, but he finished third. But the winning distances were a length ahead, half a length, the proverbial blanket over them. Now, you would say that Los Angeles was very, very strong at the finish. He showed this burst that was quite rare in the final furlong, where he was really only getting going. And you imagine if he's kind of close up a furlong and a half down, you have a big chance. He's by Camelot, who's like, he's a good sire. He's not a great sire. And he could be his best horse. He's sire of Luxembourg, obviously ran the Coronation Cup. But kind of by default, great ride for Wayne Norton to pick. He'd probably be Shamey Heffernan's ride if we were still riding at Ballydoyle.
Escape to LA if you win.
Well, this is it, yeah. Escape to LA. He's I've never been to LA actually. He's unbeaten.
Neither have I.
He is unbeaten Los Angeles, but yeah, he's a cool name of a horse, bit of a cool dude of a horse, and his performance certainly showed that he's trained on, unlike the performance of his much exalted stablemate.
Ancient Wisdom's out of Dubabi with middle distance pedigree on the dam side, one over seven furlongs and a mile on varying ground as a 2-year-old, second in the Dante Henry appearance at York. The feeling is the horse will want softer ground, a bit of cut and a true stamina test. The soft ground or a bit of cut may help. Was made to look ordinary, though, for me by Economics, and Dubawi's never sired the winner of a derby. So Ancient Wisdom, to me, is a bit short of the betting.
That's remarkable, JD, that Dubawi hasn't sired, because I was looking up See the Stars, we'll get to him. Has he sired a winner of a derby? And he has. We'll get to that later. I forgot about him. Dubawi's basically the biggest stallion in Europe beyond Frankel, and he's well up there. The problem with Ancient Wisdom is that he was destroyed by Economics in his trial, like destroyed. Now, Economics, for me, really weird that he's not running the race. He was in the race, he was taken out of the race, he then had to be put back in the race, but Willie Haggis was kind of like, no, I don't really think Epsom suit him. To be honest, like, who am I to say Willie Haggis is wrong? But like, it is the Derby. Like, and the owner is, I think he's a Bahraini owner. He obviously is a deferential owner, and you get owners who say no, he's running in the race, but he obviously defers to William Haggis. So he's a trainer's dream in that respect. But Economics was quite keen as well on the step up and trip in York, so he wouldn't be for me. And for all of that, he's only third favourite basically.
Ambient Friendly was an impressive winner of the Lingfield trial, easily his best performance to date. He was behind Ancient Wisdom as a 2-year-old. Just kept galloping the last day. Callum Shepherd rode him, has been jocked off for Rob Havlin. Sometimes the trials don't work out. The breeding as well out of Glen Eagles wouldn't suggest a Derby winner to me. Definitely got an each way chance. Johnny Murta was keen on him this week. Ambient Friendly. Hard to work out this horse, really.
Yeah, you say that.
It's almost like he wins or he's nowhere, is kind of the feeling I have about him.
You say that about Glen Eagles. Glen Eagles is sort of a solid sire, but I wouldn't. He's not a sire I would expect to get a Derby winner. The median distance of his winners is 9.6 furlongs. So he's, when you take into account like 6 furlong 2-year-old winners and all of that, that's actually he puts stamina in his horses. The jockey kind of arrangements you mentioned, like not a massive fan of that. Absolutely no fault of Rob Havlin. That's the way the game goes. But connections taken off Callum Shepherd, who knows the horse well. After he wins by 4.5 lengths, Rishi Prasad spoke to him during the week, thought he covered himself very, very well. Has a chance, but he's rated 111, and I'd be disappointed if he were good enough to win the race, to be honest.
Terra Mile is out of Camelot behind Ancient Wisdom last year, won over 10 furlongs in reappearance at Windsor in April, but it would be a bit of a shock if this one won this.
Cheapies is on for the first time. Jim Crowley hasn't won the race. He used to work with his dad, Tommy, in Setanta all those years ago when I was back in New Approach and a lot of losers. This horse, he did win a Windsor the last year. That was a minor race. He's a nice bit of class, this horse. I actually wouldn't entirely rule him out. He's rated 109 as well. He's very solid. He won't mind the ground. And he's relatively unexposed at the trip. You can get 20-1 with Hills, maybe a little bit better. I wouldn't rule him out for all that. You'd think he wouldn't be good enough.
Who's to see the stars winner of the Derby?
Harzand.
Pat Smullen.
Pat Smullen, the late, great Pat Smullen. And that was a great day as well, because there was a late scare with Harzand. Dermot Weld had to perform, and Dermot Weld, who has a veterinary background, but his vet had to perform, I think, a bit of a minor miracle that day to get him right on the day. And good horse, and he's kind of another of these. A lot of the Derby stallions, like the Derby winners, don't really make great stallions. I think Harrison's a little bit underrated as a stallion, but he's one of the kind of lower grade stallions. Yeah. But that was his winner anyway.
Macduff is out to see the stars, second in a Group 3 on reappearance of Sandown. 2-year-old profile would not suggest he is at the top level, this colt, and connections feel he wants good ground, but owned by, what is it, Kala Abdullah's
colt? He stepped up in trip at Sandown, and it generally see the stars horses. He's a 200 grand stallion for a reason. His horses are, they're very good, but they're also, he's a Sire Bayeed, who I think is going to be a sensational stallion. But he's that price partly because of his class, but partly because his horses are reliable, and that's what you need in a premier stallion. So the keenness that this fella exhibited on his comeback at Sandown, I wouldn't be overly worried about. The problem is he has to step up again in trip, and he has to step up on form after the run behind Arabian Crown.
Dancing Gemini is beaten by Ancient Wisdom as a 2-year-old at Doncaster, but then second in the French Guineas is out of Camelot, will improve for the last run, says his trainer.
Spoke to Dylan Brown McMonagall about this horse. I have to say he's gone completely under the radar for me. The race in Longchamp, he was 26-1. I was probably one of those races where I was looking at the Irish horses in behind Diego Velasquez and Henry Longfellow, two kind of much exalted horses, one by Frankel, one by Dubawi. Diego Velasquez cost, I think, 1.6 million. We'll get to another Frankel from that yard who cost a lot of money later. But Dancing Gemini was ridden by Dylan Brown McMonagall, ran very well. Interviewed Dylan at Tipperary Wednesday, and I saw he wasn't jocked up for Anthony in Epsom Friday. He's riding in Down Royal, and I said, are you riding at Epsom by chance? He goes, yeah, I'm riding the horse that finished second in the French Guineas, and steps up in trip. He steps up a half a mile in trip, which on one side that's a negative, but on the other side it could bring about a lot of progress. And I don't know, was it after the interview I did or before that, but he's into like 10-1 now, which is remarkable, really. He was second in a very, very messy renewal of the French Guineas. And you wouldn't think, again, Camelot, he's out by Camelot out of an Australia mare, so it's a pedigree for a mile and a half. But I have to say I'm surprised at the odds he is. But very best look to Dylan Brown. If you can get odds with William Hill on the jockey's title in Ireland this year, I'd be giving him a big, big chance.
Madam Justin is out to see the stars, was not a superstar as a 2-year-old, then won a listed race over 10 furlongs at the course in April. So class for this has to be taken on trust. Our friend Benham Justin, this horse trained by Andrew Balding to be ridden by Kerry's Oisin Murphy.
Has one big positive, JD, and you know what that is? Epsom form. Yes. And, you know, that's a massive quandary. Like, it's an absolute certainty that some of the horses in this race will simply not handle Epsom.
That's the worry for the horse in the Oaks, Rubies Are Red.
Because you would have to say maybe she wasn't necessarily in love with Lingfield, although she actually is my bet of the weekend. We'll get to that later. But, he did handle it well. The Epsom trial in general, off the top of my head, it doesn't tend to produce the Derby winner. But he's quite interesting. He's a fusion of pedigree and pace in his pedigree, and I wouldn't entirely underestimate him for a very good trainer and a very, very good rider.
Voyage, nicely bred out of Golden Horn, with the dam's side having the line to Galileo, will only start at Newbury in April, but only cost 40 grand, so.
It's great to see. Like, I was talking to Dave Marnan about a horse that's bound for Royal Ascot on Wednesday that's, again, only costs similar money to the horse you're talking about. And to have a runner, he's by Golden Horn, who very good horse himself, saw him at Leopardstown as a 3-year-old. Once raced horse for Richard Hannon, who was in classic 1-2 winning form at the Curry last weekend. Drawn 16, which might be okay. You can make a case for him. You'd imagine, though, we spoke earlier on in the show about horses who were never seen before after the Derby. You'd imagine once raced, not seen before his debut until 43 days ago. It's a lot to ask.
Just to go through the others, Dallas Star was a 50-1 shock winner of the Ballysack Stakes at Leopardstown. Has to prove that wasn't a fluke. Euphoric is a son of Frankel. has to overturn the form with Los Angeles from Leopardstown. God's Window is 10 lengths behind Economics, and the Dante has got much to prove. Cambu hasn't run since winning over a mile on the all-weather in December. Looks to be lacking the class for this, as does Mr. Hampstead, who's yet to win a race. Sedate was second in the listed race at Newmarket last time out, only rated 102, though. And Table Talks out of Camelot won a maiden at Chelmsford. Once again, a lot to do. I'm going for Los Angeles. I think he's rock solid, unbeaten. I think the step up and triple suits him, Johnny. Trips to LA out of this one. Los Angeles, I think.
Camelot breads in the race.
Maybe the price is a bit too skinny on him, but I think he's a, I think sometimes you just got to go on what you see. And from what the way I saw Los Angeles finish that race at Leopardstown last time out, I liked it. He's my selection. Have you anything?
I am going with Los Angeles. Like, you'd imagine, best of luck to Declan McDonough. I'm delighted for Dec. He's getting really nice rides this season, picking up from across the yard. It's not easy as a freelancer. And he's riding Euphoric here. And as he has to reverse form at Los Angeles. But, you know, sometimes, JD, we mentioned the horse earlier. I'm not great with memory of winners, but sometimes these front runners get away from you in the Derby. And it'll be interesting to see what Deck does, because, like, let's be honest, sometimes these Coolmore horses who go out in front, they're not exactly ridden for...
Draw nine.
Yeah, they're ridden for others, basically. And let's be honest, and that's why American betting the couple horses under the same owners, because they realise that pacemakers are there for pacemaking at times. But he's a horse who cost, I actually forgot this when I looked it up earlier, he's by Frankel, he cost 1.9 million guineas as a yearling. So that's well over 2 million euro. And he has a chance.
I mean, if he's out there in front, he's not going to stop. Declan McDonough, and we've seen this before with front runners for Edmund Brown and Darby.
He's by Frankel, so he can be a little bit keen, but he did run a blinder. Like, he's a length to find with Los Angeles, and he's about 40 to 1.
He's your outsider, is he?
He's my outsider. And I think he just might have a bit more in him, this horse. Like, he's probably a little bit underrated. Like, a length is a length. It's not an awful lot. What's to say it'll be different? And in fairness, getting out in the front at Epsom can be a help, because, as you mentioned at the top of the show, it's a crazy track. You'll get into trouble. You have to handle the Tottenham corner, you have to do this, you have to do that. But for all of that, and this is a low stakes race for me, if a stake at all, maybe have your five each way, Los Angeles for me, and we'll all go to Los Angeles. We probably won't quite be able to afford Los Angeles if he wins, maybe if we get the double up with the yokes. So
okay, well, City of Troy is obviously the talking horse, and we'll see how he goes, and best luck to everybody involved in the Derby.
I'd love to see him win it.
Absolutely, so would I. Half four for the Epsom Derby. This is the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here, but if you're looking for more, including our analysis of the Oaks and the Coronation Cup at Epsom on Friday, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.